from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The sky's the limit, right?
Just really excited to get everything going and get the season started.
It's training camp time.
Yeah, baby!
As the morning shift gives you all the action live from Flowery Branch.
Tiffany Blackman, Mike Johnson, and Bo Morgan.
Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app for our 2024 Falcons training camp coverage. Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Kia. Movement that inspires. Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller Time Atlanta. Margaritaville. And by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. This is the morning shift. I'm Squid Billy. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael P. Johnson. And we are joined today by the eternal optimist, the Colonel, Mark Zeno.
I thought you were going to say professional NFL cheerleader at one point.
That's you know what? I didn't really, that's just tired and old. And some people want to use that to kind of bag on you, even though they have no athletic achievements in their own lives, and that's yours. So I don't want to go there. I think that that's something that you should be proud of, and I'm not going to try to bag on you about it.
Well, that's a nice start to the show, unexpected.
I was going to say the same thing, man.
I took a shot at other people all in one breath. How about that? That's rare. Now we've got that out of the way. Let's just move on and have fun and hate each other for the next 3 hours.
Sounds about right. Well, we're getting out of here at 9? Oh, that's right. We get out of here at 9. I forgot the steakhouse. It's right. 10 o'clock. Look at that.
And you'll actually get a little bit of a shifty version of the steakhouse today, too. Me and Bo will be joining Sandra. I got her from 9 to 10, and Bo in from 10 to 11.
We're going to do a line shift, as they would say in hockey.
That's
The funny thing, real quick, to clear the air, I'm probably the person at the station that likes Zeno the most.
You think so?
Yeah. No, honestly.
It's a pretty low bar to clear since nobody actually likes me.
You're definitely on a higher level than me, I'll be honest with you.
I mean, if there was a vote for least likable person at this station, I would take the gold.
No. That's not necessarily true. I think you're the one that just works the hardest to be the least liked. But you're not the least.
He doesn't work hard to be unliked. It's very much the opposite. He doesn't work hard to be liked. And that's the difference. You know what I mean?
Well, tomato, tomato.
As Dua Lipa once said, IDGAF.
Yeah. Zeno just looked at me like, you get me. I was like, that's right. No, I absolutely do. So a lot of fun up here. We're live from Flowery Branch at Sports Radio 929. A game. It's the morning shift. And Big Z over here. I'm going to call him Money Mark getting into the show, too, because evidently he's been crushing it on the Vegas odds. We'll get into really, I think, what will be an interesting show today, guys, where – you know, we've had a number of co-hosts come in throughout the time that Tiffany's been in Paris, but this will be probably the most statistical and heavy odds style of morning shift that we might get, because Big Z is in the house and we can start to throw it around. You will get Which One Wednesday coming up in the middle of the show, which I think is going to be a lot of fun with these two going back and forth making those decisions. We got Eric Edholm there in hour number 3, so we'll get that hooked up as well. But obviously a lot of heavy Falcons talk, and the Braves with the big dub last night, man.
I find it funny that that was the description you used, the most statistical version of it. I was going to say the angriest version of the morning shift that we've probably ever had.
Potato, potato.
Yeah, we've had some pretty angry morning shifts. I don't know if you've listened to this show very much, but me and you've gotten pretty heavy in it. So we get our days with Rob Tribble, where, you know, Rob will come in here and put his own little sass into the show. But as far as this one goes, I mean, I would say that, you know, Big Z's got he's got the spreadsheet opened up over there. He's going to give us all the rundown. He's going to tell us actually what goes into what goes into his statistical analysis as he's making his play. You know, he's basically worn sharp light over there when it comes to making some of these Vegas
plays. Let me tell you something. You have fluffed him more than you can fluff. I think the fluffing is done.
Isn't that the point at the beginning of a show? Isn't that the point of the beginning of a show, telling people how good we are? Isn't that why we call you the radio guru?
I mean, I know that I don't think that's quite the point. I mean, there's a difference in reading a resume and just straight up lying for someone. And I think you've
yeah,
entered
potato,
into
potato.
Yeah. I mean,
listen, Big Z's over here. He's like, I'm up 800 units on the year already. Make sure you get with me.
I wish I was.
Yeah, I wish you were too, because I'd be texting you every single day to see what the deal is. But anyhow, man, the Braves last night. We'll go ahead and hop into that just a little bit. And that's one of the things about the show today. Don't have to worry about any of the fluff, because the Braves last night getting the big win. Obviously, 4-3 in extra innings last night. You got a good start from Charlie Morton, and it was funny, Zeno, I'll bring you in on that conversation, me and Bo yesterday. Bo was talking about the, he's like, man, we got to get to this guy starting for the Giants because, I think we can get to him. And I was like, it's funny because I think the Giants are probably having the same exact conversation about Charlie Morton going into last night. It's like, look, man, we're coming off this Chris Sale game. We got to get to this guy, Charlie Morton, in game two, because he's going to be the guy that we can get to. But big win for the Braves last night, Z. And I'm curious kind of where you sit on the Braves just as an overall assessment right now.
I mean, every win at this point is starting to feel big. When you don't hit the ball, everything is magnified. And you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about maybe they'll snap out of it. Maybe they'll get hot. Like, I don't like that philosophy. Hope is not a strategy. It never has been. It never will be. So that's not something you want to get. Let's just get in and hope that we get hot. I mean, you, more often than not, that doesn't work. Yes, and everybody wants to point to last year, what the D-backs did and the Rangers did. And
it's not just last year, though. There's a lot of years. In fact, the 90s Braves era was littered with teams that were hotter than them at that moment, and that kept them from it. You're not wrong with what you're saying, and I know I'm going to let you finish up, but I wanted to just jump in for a second. That's exactly what they did in 21, and that's why everyone feels
that difference
way.
The difference is that 21, there were things you could hang your hat on with this team.
Like what, though? They were under 500 going in the middle of August that year.
I get it. But again, that them getting hot started into playing a full month. They also had Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson have a career year, obviously. You know, you had starting pitchers that you could rely on. You had bullpen guys that you felt confident in. Like, this team seems to be crumbling from the outside, and you know it's not. There's nothing there to build it back up.
But okay, let's. And this is why I love when Zeno's in, because him and I will just go into this. All right, well, the starting pitching that year was Max Fried and an aging Charlie Morton. This year, you know, I know Fried was injured and he's been a hiccup since he's came back. But you have Fried and Chris Sale. Lopez will obviously be back, but Spencer Schwellenbach is what Ian Anderson was to that team that year. And you still might get Ian Anderson. You have Raisel Iglesias having his best year since he's joined the Braves as a closer. Mm-hmm. The bullpen, now you got this A.J. Minter situation, which is very scary to me. And that might be, to me, to your point, the nail in the coffin if he can't get off, come back in, I guess, 13 days from the IL, and because he was put on it Monday. But you did have Dansby Swanson have a career year. But other than that, you had no Acuna. You had a piecemealed outfield. And Ozzie Albies was just what he was. And he's always been. And it hurt, and it comes back and plays a little bit. So I don't know that you're that much different from that team, I guess is what I'm saying. Now, I think the teams you're playing, Mark, I think Philadelphia is better.
Yeah.
I think, you go through the National League. The Dodgers are stronger than ever. The Brewers are better than that team they were that year. So and the Padres and the Diamondbacks are both red hot.
Again, to your point, it's a lot tougher, but I there's nothing that makes me feel like, you know, this is right now the cornerstone of what this team builds on every game. You know, again, you had a lineup that year where guys could hit the ball, regardless of whether that's what they were or what they are for their careers, in that moment from middle of August when they took over first place on, there were guys who were hitting. There was a lineup that you could trust. There was an anchor in the rotation. I don't even know who the anchor is right now.
It is funny.
That's the only one.
It is funny because I'll interject here, but you look at last night and you watch the game and kind of soak it in, and it's obviously a West Coast. I wake up this morning and I'm watching more of the highlights, and you start to see Jorge Soler, you know, knock it in somebody, and Ramon Laureano and Whit Merrifield scores, and Eli White makes a catch in center field, and you're like, my God, Who are these people?
I feel like the groundskeepers in Major League. Who are these guys?
You're like, what is going on right now, man? It's just these the people that are throwing out of the bullpen even. I mean, and you get some good innings from, Raisel Iglesias last night, but Dylan Lee gets the win, and, like, it's just funny the way things have kind of been thrown together for the Braves.
I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and take a dump on the team or anything like that, but the reality is that, you know, the sand is coming out of the hourglass, and at some point in time you're just going to say, thank God it's over.
Yeah,
this team has been riddled with injuries all year long. It's not their fault. I mean, it's just one of the, you can't lose the quality of players that they've had, and now you got Max Fried down. Who knows if he's coming back? You know, and for a guy who's walking into a contract year, I mean, obviously he wants to come back and pitch, but still, you know, there's that component to it too as well. It's almost like just put this thing out of its misery, man, because it's a fait accompli that I think we know how it ends.
Yeah. No, I've tended to veer towards your side, but here's the thing. Even after the most demoralizing loss of the year on Sunday, you come get back-to-back wins against San Francisco.
In 10 innings.
Right. The extra innings wins the last couple of nights have been well, they've been honestly awesome to see. And
you know what that means? Bet the Giants tonight.
I was going to get into that because before we get out of this segment, Grant Holmes is on the hill tonight, and I'll just ask y'all this question with just a minute left. Is this the biggest start of Grant Holmes' career?
No, I think the first one was the biggest start of Grant Holmes' career, and I think he did pretty well. I know he got hit around. He got kind of banged around his last outing, but if you go back and look, his swing and misses were as good as, you know, his best of his career, obviously a short career. But I've told you, Grant Holmes, get me through five innings, giving up three or less runs, and I think that my lineup should be able to do something against Robbie Ray, who hasn't been around much this year. He's only pitched 20 innings. And look, Robbie Ray wants to throw his four-seam fastball, which sits around 94 on average. This lineup should be able to hit that. I need Marcelo Ozuna and Jorge Soler to stay hot, and Austin Riley, who started to heat up. And I don't know where this version of Travis d'Arnaud came from, but since July, Travis d'Arnaud's been one of the best hitting catchers in the National League.
Yeah.
The biggest problem for the Braves against Robbie Ray, their K rate has been going up for a better part of the summer, and they're going up against a guy who, for three of his four starts, has gotten at least seven strikeouts. And for a team, again, that's not hitting that much, when guys get in scoring position, strikeouts are bad. Got to put a ball in play somewhere.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we come back, pretty simple question. Braylon Trice is out for the year. What is plan B for the Atlanta Falcons rushing the passer? It's been asked for about 12, 13, 14 years now. We'll try to answer it on the other side of the break. Stick with us. Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Mornings on the Game means more of the morning shift.
Nice!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. I usually call it when Robbie T's in here. I usually call this the Meathead Edition. I think this is way more meatier today. Way more meatier.
All right, easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
That's a different terminology.
That's pretty funny
coming from a guy who literally calls himself the Meat Man. I'm not allowed to call this a meatheaded show.
No, you said it was meaty.
Yeah, it is. It's meaty in here. You know what I mean? A lot of heavy breathers in this room.
We brought
over
in
here
the Italian sausage over here.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
See, how come you get to say that, and I got that, and I'm the one that has to calm down?
He's Italian. I know the guy.
Golly, you took it another level.
No, okay. Mark. Are you not Italian?
100%.
I mean, he's got an Italian name.
What's called an Italian meatball? I guess that would have sounded better. Huh?
Let's go ahead and get this out there, too, while we're on this topic. This man yesterday is like, yeah, Eric Edholm, who's joining us at 8:20, or 8:40, I'm sorry. He's got twins. Real men have twins.
That's right.
I'm like, this guy right here.
Listen, man, I get to take all the credit. I had two targets.
Yeah.
They're fraternal. They're not identical. Identical is all the woman. Fraternal is all the man. You got to hit two targets, bro.
Dude, me and you were talking, and we're going to get to the Falcons stuff now,
which is rare. But yeah, for him,
that is a biologically accurate statement. I hit two targets.
Was it one bullet?
No, it couldn't be. Two bullets.
Are you sure?
Speaking of hitting targets, this man was telling me that he's got a dunk tank coming for his kid's birthday party.
Yes,
next weekend.
I mean, Mike. If you come to the birthday party and your kid has a chance to dunk you, I know he's really small still, but
he's turning four this weekend.
He's four and he's
already 6'5".
He's grown a foot for every year, so he's four.
Kid's
foot already
bigger than me and you.
Yeah,
he took a swing at Bo's chin last time I saw you.
If you're going to a kid's birthday party, usually you'll get to a point where you start going to these more and more. Kids' birthday parties as an adult, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, where's the booze? I don't want to be bothered. Well, kids are running around. Someone give me a drink.
It's perfect you brought that up, because I said that to Bo the other day. I went to one last weekend. I said, honestly, it's transitioned from, God, I hate going to these, to actually it's a social event.
He texts me on a Saturday night, and he had to ask me a question. And I said, why is your weekend good? He's like, yeah, I went to two birthday parties today.
Back to back.
I just responded with, sounds miserable.
Yeah. No. I was like, it wasn't, dude. It was a great
there's
day.
Two things I hope for when I go to a kid's birthday party. One, booze. Two, single mommies.
I can't speak on that.
I'm just hoping that there's some.
The second one I went to was off Paces, and they had a themed drink. It was a themed cocktail for like a sixth birthday party. I mean, and I was like, I'm here for this.
Some single mom at that party that I should be at.
Guarantee you.
The themed drink for the adults was in line with what the theme of the birthday party was. So if it was like,
I'm not sure the birthday party had a theme, to be honest with you. It was just
sure
crazy.
Was. Get
bounce
drunk.
Houses.
Wait a minute. So the parents made a themed drink, but they're like, yeah, for your birthday party, kid, you don't get a themed party.
I'm not sure, man.
No dinosaurs. Sure. We're gonna have a frozen margarita machine.
The theme was chaos. Yeah. I mean, it was absolute chaos. Well, and I was telling him, I left the 1-year-old birthday party and went to a 6-year-old birthday. Completely different scene.
Absolutely. 1-year-old birthday parties aren't even worth your time.
What?
You know,
like,
because
a lullaby.
It's usually surrounded like around breakfast or lunch. It's very low key. When you have 6-year-olds running around,
dude.
It's
like the difference between
it's like combat.
Spider and Slipknot.
But yeah, I mean, it was like, is a 1-year old birthday party not just I know we got to get to
God, yeah, do we?
But is a 1-year old birthday party not just the family and close friends of the parents there?
Wait, you remember the twins' 1-year old birthday party?
Yeah, I do. That's what I thought it was.
You put a cake in front of them and they smash it.
Was that the one you made us dress up like a Cowboys?
That was the ex who made you do that. I did not come up with a theme for a party, okay? I did not come up with a theme for a one-year-old birthday party. You know who to complain to in that department, and it's not
you
me.
You ask the attendees to dress up like cowboys.
I had to wear a cowboy hat. And jeans with
Mike,
boots.
Mike, on those kids, I did not do anything. At the time I was married, I did what I was told. Okay?
Unbelievable,
well,
man.
I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but
had
you maybe have done what you were told a little bit more, you know what?
Man, come on. There's no climbing that mountain.
All right, you're going to get everybody
all right,
in trouble.
We got to go to the Falcons. Listen, we got to talk about Braylon Trice, and we got to get back on the rails right here. Braylon Trice.
Can I tell you something? You know what's interesting?
You can always tell me something.
Braylon Trice this year is going to play as many snaps as the 8th overall draft pick, which is weird.
Yeah, well, we hope.
You hope.
We hope.
Yeah. No, we
don't jinx anything. And I'm glad you brought that up. We've been wondering aloud for the last couple of days what losing Braylon Trice actually means for this defense. I had my thoughts yesterday.
You got two of your six draft picks who won't play.
Raheem Morris had his thoughts as well.
It's always tough when you use a rook. You know, you use a guy that you're about to count on the edge to be able to have a role and be able to find his roles and all those type of things. But, you know, I'll give you the cliche. It's got to be the next man up mentality, which always happens. And that's always going to be the case. But he was defining a real role for us where he was a guy that can play on first or second down. He brought some pass rush and some of those things. So you got to find it elsewhere, right? JSW goes out there and gives us a nice first down rep. You got AK that goes out there and give you nice third down reps. And now you got to get it from somewhere else where you're expecting this guy to really ascend and do some really good things for you. But I don't like losing people at all, particularly when there's a guy, a rookie that really was a nice pick and was doing a great job and doing some really good things for us out there on the football field.
Zeno, I'll bring you in on the conversation we had yesterday just a little bit. We touched on it. I think this is a bigger deal to the fans than it is the football team. I think we're so thirsty for pass rushers that you look at him being the first guy we took in the draft as a third-round pick and think, oh, man, this guy can be really good. But the bottom line is a phenomenal year for a third-round edge rusher would have probably been 4 sacks for him this year. I mean, that's just the bottom. A phenomenal year for a rookie third-round edge rusher would have been 4 sacks.
Hard to disagree. I mean, you know, again, I think when it comes to impact that he can make, does it go beyond that? Sure. If he sets the edge really well, he can play the run. You know, maybe he's a three-down kind of guy that, you know, frees up some other things for other guys. Nobody really knows what the limit would have been for him. I mean, I've had this argument with people all throughout training camp. You could tell real quick in training camp whether a guy can't play. You never know whether it actually can play until live games actually start. Yeah. So if there was a sense that he could play, it was just figuring out what his role was going to be. And I don't know why people are still lusting after the pass rusher, given the way this roster has been constructed, right? Like, I mean, what's wrong with saying we're just going to score 35 every game, we're going to beat you 33-30 and get the hell out of there with a W? I mean, for year one of this whole thing, given what you have set up, who cares what the defense has got to make like 2 or 3 plays a game?
Well,
and that should be enough for them to win.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I actually think Zeno said two things that I want to touch on because I agree. I think the first one is Braylon Trice. It's not just about the production you get from Braylon Trice. It is the learning year for him and the fact that you might find out that he can do more than just rush the passer. You know, he might be a guy that can help set the edge and eventually move into a role that I think James Smith Williams is going to have this year, which is kind of what Bud Dupree did last year in a different type defense, but very similar still. The other thing is, that's one thing that we are kind of forgetting is the hope with this team. This team was built financially to go score points.
Yep.
And if you can score points, there's no reason why you can't be opportunistic on defense, much like 2012 and much like 2016. You know, Vic Beasley had 15.5 sacks in 2016 because they were up 31-10 yep. in games. And now there are many times where teams did come back because of the way that defense was constructed, but that you could pin your ears back and go get the quarterback because they had to throw in the third and fourth quarters late. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's not a wrong thought process. Be opportunistic. But the reality of the situation is no edge guy is great on his own. They need help interior-wise, and I think that's why you have Eddie Goldman back, Onyemata, Ruka Roro, you have Taquan Graham and Zach Harrison, Brandon Dorless, Grady Jett. These are got contemporary. I love their front. I love the front three or four that they're going to have. But especially, I think Brandon Dorless might be, at the end of the day, the rookie you say, oh, wow. might be the one that has the most impact.
Well, I'm glad you said that, too, because Brandon Dorlus spoke, and he was actually talking about, hey, look, I don't want to just rush the passer. I'm trying to get those tackles for loss as well.
I mean, that was, like, the biggest thing for me is to, like, show that I could play the run. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the whole time I was in college, everybody talked about Dorlus being a pass rusher.
Yeah.
So, like, biggest thing for me, I want to be also known as, okay, if you can throw him in there, he can stop the run, too. I don't want to be just a third down guy. I want to be every down guy. So, the biggest thing for me was to prove everybody here is I could play the run.
Yeah.
Someone should tell him those sacks get you paid more.
Well, and here's the thing. And honestly, Zeno, the more this conversation goes on about sacks, the more it's kind of pivoted for me. Pivot. I think that the problem is that people are losing the fact that this team has to create more turnovers, right? And one of the ways you do that is by affecting the passer. I'm talking about strip sacks, tipped balls, just getting fumbles in the backfield. That's one of the things is even if you believe this team needs to get more sacks, which obviously everybody does, they've got to create more turnovers, especially from the cornerback position.
Without sort of denigrating the average fan and their understanding of football, like we hear it all the time and we talk to coaches all the time about it, you know, the ghost pressure, the ability to get the quarterback off the spot, the ability to force them to make bad throws that don't amount to a sack, that don't amount to an interception. What amounts to is a pass sailing wide on 3rd and 6 and a punt coming away, right? Like those things don't make people excited. They don't make people feel good about the state of the defense, but they help you win football games. And that's kind of what you're needing this team to do, per se, as opposed to get the quarterback on the ground. No one's going to deny the importance of being able to get to a quarterback and put him on his back, right? Like that, you can't underscore that. You know, to your point, Bo, there are some edge rushers on their own who are elitely good, but those guys are – there's a handful of them. You just don't have one.
Yeah,
right?
Well, like, and it's like – yeah, people.
They're going to have to work as a whole to make pass rushing a thing.
And you look at – go back to with Raheem and when he's had guys that have stood off that have been edge rushers that have had these career years. Why do you think Leonard Floyd had so many sacks when he was with Rams? Because of Aaron Donald. And he had elite guys in there, and it helps those – it helps you. It sometimes – it's like Cade Nelson, we talked about it. When he came over, he had 7 sacks to the Saints the year before he came over. A lot of that was right place, right time, where things – he was doing his job and things came to you.
He also had Cam Hayward playing next to him. That's another guy,
yeah,
just to that point.
Yeah, that's right. But the fact of the matter is that if you go get a Justin Simmons to play right here next to Jesse Bates, you've got 2 elite ball hawk safeties. And I know you're like, well, why is Justin Simmons out there if he's elite? Well – money rules everything in the NFL with the cap, and sometimes players will stay out of situations to find the one they
want. Real
quick,
if you guys had to have one, Simmons or Reddick, in a fantasy world, if you could only pick one.
I'm taking Simmons just because I've heard more about the character he actually is in the locker room. I'm not sure that Reddick fits the mold of the ethos that we keep talking about.
Oh, boy. So. Which one for you?
Well, I've screened pass rusher all the time, so it's hard to not take a guy that's
I was gonna say
50 sacks in the last 4 years. However,
I'm just telling y'all, man.
Nothing screams bad apple like a guy that's requested 2 trades in 6 months.
I was going to say, I've been in those locker rooms, in these Falcons locker rooms, with pass rushers that are unhappy, and it's not a good time. So this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. More Falcons talk on the other side. A special timeout with Big Z over here. Look, Kirk Cousins, MVP odds, worth a little sprinkle. Well, Zeno's going to give you all the inside. Just coming up on the other side of the break. It's Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
That dial.
This is the Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift live from Flowery Branch. It's the Meathead Edition. We got Big Z. Let's call him Riverboat Romeo in this segment. How about that? There's a little Italian pool right there. The gambler over there. Mark Zeno hanging out with us, and obviously Squid Billy sitting across the table. We got to get, and we're going to get to a special timeout in just a minute. Zeno's got some odds, some season-long odds for us as far as the Atlanta Falcons go. And I guess it's kind of a which one Wednesday, which one are you picking over under as far as the odds go. But one of the things we need to get into right now, Bo, that just popped up during the break is we were talking about Allison's book that her mom gave her.
Yeah.
And it was called How to Not Die Alone. And there's 2 facets to this. Because first of all, Zeno goes, dude, I've got that book. Yeah, somebody gave me that book.
Somebody sent it to me.
Somebody sent him this book. Okay, now 2 facets. First of all, it's funny that somebody sent you that book. Second of all.
Is it? Funny for who?
Second of all.
Who's laughing?
Who sent you the book? the question, who sent you the book, popped up. And you said,
I have no clue.
I have no clue.
Oh, I have a few
clues.
Like,
that's the greatest thing I've ever freaking heard. So somebody just gets Zeno's address and says,
now, somebody I know, obviously.
I know, but this is what's so good about this. You're like, you know what? Zeno needs to read this book, How to Not Die Alone, and just sends him this book.
Keep going to 6-year-old birthday parties.
It's beautiful.
It's not someone that you know.
Eventually I'll find somebody.
It's someone that knows you. That is the that's the way you should phrase
See,
that.
But the way you said the way you said that hurt. Okay, that was you said that intentionally. It's someone that knows you that you're pathetic.
I'm not
and you
the
can't
one.
Get.
No. It's not that you can't
someone
get people.
Someone knows you need help.
Someone that knows you're going to be alone and you're a loser.
I'm not the one essentially getting "Don't Kill Myself" book sent to me. I think if you thought. You know, just a little bit. You could come up
something?
With about
Can I tell you
seven
something?
To ten names.
When I got it, I had a little, you know, tug of war mentally with myself. Do I try to find out who sent it to me, or do I just not say a word because I want to know who sent me? You're a loser. You're going to die alone, and here's a way to figure it out.
You know what I think?
I didn't ask a single soul.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should read it. Highlight some passages, and then you need to pay it forward.
No.
And send it to someone that you think.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you one better. I will read it, highlight a couple of passages, come back to the morning shift with a full report on how not to die alone.
And what if the person that sent it to you, actually like wrote their name down on like page 300 and they were like, if you've gotten this far, this is who sent you the book.
Keep going.
Yeah.
And you're like, far, keep you're going.
Like, oh, but they're probably sitting there, and I don't know how many years ago it was when you got this book.
No, literally it was like 2 or 3 months ago.
Okay, so they're probably sitting there going, well, he still hasn't read it because I haven't heard from the guy.
I'm going to start texting people that we mutually know that I think could have sent it. Like, hey, did you send Zeno this book?
I mean,
I love this story,
Listen, when you said it to it, like it resonated. I'm like, oh, I know that book, the one with the toothbrushes on the cover.
Yeah.
So I never bothered to read it.
And as it turns out, I think Allison, once she reads it, will pay it forward as well.
Yeah, I think she will too. All right, let's go ahead and hit a timeout.
It's time for a timeout on the morning shift. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, gentlemen, here's how we'll do this. I will give you some odds for each of the Falcons players and some props, season-long props to look at. I'd like you guys to tell me whether you think they will go over or under. Some of this stuff is really interesting. I've done the research in the back end of this stuff on what I would bet and why and what I think my favorite bet would be. So I'll give that to you at the end. But you mentioned Kirk Cousins' MVP odds. Now, these, believe it or not, have actually come down. They were higher. So some people are starting to move the market on Kirk Cousins. And for this one, just a yay or nay, you think it's worth a small little pizza bet. Kirk Cousins' MVP odds right now are at 30-1. I'll remind you guys that when he had got hurt last year after 8 games, he led the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns, was top 5 in quarterback rating, was trending towards having an incredible MVP-type season.
Yeah, he had possibly the best wide receiver core, at least in the NFC. It's worth a pizza bet. I mean, you're betting a buck to win $3,000.
I mean, but let me just put the frame in this way. Names that have better odds than Kirk Cousins this year, given what the season he had
who's
last
ahead
year.
Of him? Let's see.
Jared Goff.
Yeah, no thanks.
Tua. Brock Purdy. And Jordan freaking Love.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm taking Kirk way before I'm taking any of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think I would take Kirk right up there. But I'll say this. If you win the division and win 11 games and Kirk Cousins has a type of year, I think he's MVP all day. And I'll say this. He had Justin Jefferson last year, but Jordan Addison didn't really come into his own until right around the time that Kirk Cousins got hurt.
Yeah,
that's
right.
When he kind of really started becoming
JJ got hurt last year, too.
Yeah, he did. And that's when Addison stepped up.
It is interesting, too. And just to kind of sum that up, Zeno, I do remember looking at the stat, and I don't remember who had it, but as far as incompletions due to wide receiver error last year, I think the Vikings were at the top of the chart. So that is interesting to look at as well.
All right, Kirk Cousins' passing yards this year. This has also gone up because I had an earlier number a couple of weeks ago that was below 3,800.5 passing yards. Now, again, for reference, last year, okay, he had 2,300 yards in 8 games.
I think Tua led the NFL with 4,700 last year.
And I do remember Desmond Ridder, his over-under last year was 24.50, and I said, okay, that means that that means Vegas thinks he's getting benched, and he did.
I mean,
twice.
The idea that he can't get to that number, just for reference, in 6 years in Minnesota, Kirk Cousins got to 4,000 yards every year except for last year when he got hurt. And the year he only played 15 games, he's finished with 3,600.
I would take the over.
I'm going to take the under. And here's why. I hope that the running game is responsible for more yards in this particular offense, and we don't have to lean on Kirk Cousins throughout every
season. And by the way, the 3 years he was a starter in Washington, he eclipsed 4,000 yards. He should easily go over this number. Kirk Cousins' touchdowns, 26.5. Again, for reference, last year in 8 games, he threw 18. Guys, this is the easiest over in the world. If he doesn't throw 30 touchdowns, that is an insanely – something has gone horribly wrong.
Okay, but you're a Vegas guy like me. Now I'm looking at it going, why is it so low? Now I'm looking at Vegas going, that seems way too easy, right? What is it that plays back against him in that?
Well, maybe they're banking on him maybe not – how healthy he is.
Reference, okay, take out last year, his – previous 5 years in Minnesota, 29, 33, 35, 26, and 30. And that was on an offense, again, that for 4 years had Justin Jefferson. So the downgrade in talent across the board puts this number where it is. Perception downgrade.
Justin Jefferson out of the mix. You still have, the downgrade in talent, I think you have a tight end that could be better than what you had in Minnesota. You have a better running back to me that you had in Minnesota. You're just missing Jefferson.
Okay. Bijan Robinson, 1,000 rushing yards. He's at 1,000 or 1,050.
I think he's got to go over because I don't think you have the Cordero Patterson this year that you've had in the past. I think it's a two-headed monster. I don't think there's a third running back getting many carries at all.
He could have 800 or 900 rushing yards and 500 or 600 receiving yards, and that's still a
really good pick. I would pick the under because I don't think Cordero Patterson really ran that many times last year.
All right, two more real quick. My favorite one, Kyle Pitts over 775.5.
Over.
Way over. If you look at T.J. Hockenson and the numbers he had last year and the year before, not being 100% healthy, he should go over that. Last one, over-under, 43.5 sacks for the Falcons.
I got to go under on that. I don't know where those
come
from.
In the last 10 years, the Falcons have eclipsed 40 sacks twice.
I don't know where those come from if you're going over. That actually makes me happy that the number's that high. You know what I mean?
If you're going to be a playoff team, I got to say you got to go over.
I want to get to some more of these in a little bit too, man. So keep some of those in your back pocket. The Falcons conversation will continue. Look, when we come back on the other side of the break, Kevin King, a little bit of a breakout game against the Dolphins on Friday. What does that secondary look like, though, as we begin to move through this preseason and head towards week one? Stick with us on the Morning Shift live from Flowery Branch, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.